Did you mention your bird attack last night?
Oh, tell them about that. Let me just mute these two people. People are coming. I got to mute them because they make noise, so we don't want that. Go ahead. Tell the story, Chad. We go to the young people's hotel, new fancy hotel they build. They built there for young millennialists, swingers and millennials. And
young swingers
with
hotel.
People with diseases. Prostitutes, yeah. Escort services, the whole gamut of our wonderful civilization.
Yeah. So we're like the first ones at the restaurant when it opens, and they're not ready for us, so we're milling about outside waiting to be assigned a table when they open. And then finally we get seated on the corner on the patio. It's a nice seat. And the four of us are sitting down, and I'm next to Bob, and right behind Bob, all of a sudden this bird is sitting on a chair behind him. And it looked kind of like a sinister-looking bird, and it had this big loop of string hanging out of its mouth in a loop. And I caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, that looks weird, and then I looked at it longer, and I'm like, okay, this bird looks sinister. He's got a big loop of string in his mouth, so I said, hey, Carolyn, because Bob couldn't see it because it was right behind him. Carolyn was sitting across from me. I said, hey, Carolyn, look at the bird behind Bob. And she looked over. And all of a sudden, the bird got kind of spooked because now people are paying attention to it. And it gets up and it flies over to the banister, the railing. And then Bob starts to notice it. As soon as Bob looks at this bird, it just takes a fucking darts right at him, like angry to attack him. But the waiter that was pouring our water was between the bird and Bob. And it hit the waiter in the back of the head, and it started like clawed up the back of the guy's head. And like basically attacked the back of the waiter's head while he was pouring our water. The intended victim was Bob. Bob was going to get garroted by this bird, this nasty mafia bird with a big string in its mouth.
Did I mute? We should be having laughter now.
You muted the whole audience, Bob.
I muted Bert. But we get him in mid-come. Look, he's coming. He's laughing.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Have you been laughing for about 30 seconds, Bert?
Yeah, because you know what flashed in my mind is that's another assassination. They said bullets won't work. Let's try this bird.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chad did a really good describing it, but let me tell you how I saw it, which is exactly what he said. We're sitting around talking, and where the bird's going to be in the end before it attacks is behind my back, so I'm not looking back there. So I see Chad say, look at that bird or something, and I don't remember actually hearing you. I just turned around, and I don't know if I saw the bird come to the railing. But I did see the bird at some point with this root string grass, long, what do you call that kind of stuff? Something that's from the ground, like a long...
A straw. It was like a piece of straw or something,
big,
but it was
long,
pretty long.
Straw. Yeah, a loose straw. And I turn, and the waiter's come in behind me, but he's not blocking my view. So I turn back, I see the bird being on the final railing position, and this ridiculous loop is coming out of its mouth. It's a very long string. What is it? What is it? Straw string, and it makes a perfect upside down U. Right? It's a U dangling down, quite far down from his beak, and he's holding it. And I see him holding it, and I marvel at the curve of it. And then he and I lock eyes, and when he looks at me, his fucking beak goes into shock, and the fucking string falls out of his mouth, and he immediately he fires himself at me like a fucking bullet. It's almost like he didn't know who he was supposed to hit in that table. And he was looking around. Like, remember how he looked around, wiggling the straw? He's looking around like, well, who am I supposed to hit? And then when he saw my eyes, he said, that's the fucking guy that they programmed me to. That's the guy they showed me in the Clockwork Orange image yesterday. There he is. But holy shit, he's different from what I thought. I can't take it. He drops the fucking weapon because he's supposed to fly around behind me and take the string and tie it around my neck. It's called garroting.
Yeah.
And I know it's called garroting because it happened in the TV show the night before. What? It was Peaky Blinders. This very fucking scene happened. Bob was prepared. I'm watching Peaky Blinders, and this guy running a club, someone sneaks up behind him, puts a string around him, but you don't even know that's what's happening, and it looks like he's just strangling him, and eventually the guy dies. Then, a few scenes later, the top British intelligence guy, who's the bad guy, is working for Churchill, is explaining to the local cop, you know why that guy died? And he says, no, what happened? And he holds up, the British intelligence guy holds up a picture. And you can't make out what it is, but he said, this is a garrote. And those guys always murder people with the garrote. So now I knew a new word. I mean, I'd heard it before, but I forgot about it. So I said, oh, a garrote is something you put around a guy's neck. You come up from behind. So the next day, I'm fully prepared. I was warned by the TV show to be ready to recognize what the fucking bird was going to do. And because I knew it, the bird, I had the advantage of the bird, right? And it's a little bit annoying. Yeah. Right here, and yeah. I outstunned him. I won the staring contest. And he goes, ah! And he turns into a suicide bomber when he wasn't going to be able to do his wonderful skill of garroting me. It wasn't going to work. Because I'd already had seen it and named it. How can you know Rumpelstiltskin until you know his name? I fucking saw it on the TV show. He knew I saw it, and he gave up, and he said, well, I'll just try to take Bob with me, because I'm doomed. And so then what he does, he flies, and all of a sudden the fucking waiters go, what the fuck's going on? And he's attacking the head of the waiter. And I didn't really notice that was what was going on, Carol.
Yeah, the waiter just happened to walk right directly into the path of the bird as it was on its way to you. That's
right.
What happened.
Wow. And I remember, I think I started saying, I exaggerated. I said, look, the guy's fucking getting it. I said, you got attacked. And I didn't really see, but it seemed like something. Did we get disconnected? Are we still there, people?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We hear just click. I wasn't sure what had actually happened, but I knew I could, well, let's make fun of the waiter. So the waiter, the waiter's there, and he starts feeling the back of his head, and he's looking around a bit confused. And right when I'm saying...
No, he wasn't confused. He was pissed off and in pain.
Right. And I'm there, celebrating it or making up instant analysis, Howard Cosell and that. Do you remember me making an analysis or something?
Of course.
I was chattering away about it. And he's there, and I realize he's actually pissed off, and he's feeling the back of his head. He's wondering if he's got blood coming out or something. And he says, and he says, that has never happened before. He says, what the fuck's going on here? And I immediately knew. I said, well, we caused it. I started saying that right away. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He didn't hear me right away. But I was saying, oh, we did that. It's because of me. You know, I just assumed it had something to do with us. And he said, no, it's never happened. Well, birds don't attack us. So it happened, and we knew it was caused by us, and then we developed a story. Then we go inside. Then we don't like... the noisy singer.
Yeah, Bob. No. It was Bob said, "Can you turn off the music?"
Did I do that before the bird? I think I did.
No.
It's hard to tell. Maybe
the bird happened as soon as the bird happened right after we sat. We were seated.
Yeah,
we weren't in the seats long enough for you to notice the music yet.
All right.
So
Bob starts talking about this ridiculous music. I can't talk. I can't even hear myself. He's screaming out loud. I can't. And it wasn't that loud, but of course I'm deaf. And it took us about 5 minutes to tell Bob, no, it's a live musician underneath us on the bar.
I was pointing at the fucking speakers up in the ceiling. I thought it was coming out. I said to the waiter, I kept thinking, can he turn it down?
Bob was pointing at
was pointing at the fan saying, turn that fuck. I was thinking, turn that fuck. Can you turn it down? But I don't know if I ever said it because I didn't know if they could turn it down.
All right. So anyway, then we moved inside.
No, then someone pointed out to me, Bob, it's not recorded music. It's a guy singing.
Right.
So I go and look over the balcony, and there's a guy right down below us on the floor below singing too loud. And I said, oh, fuck me. So we said, let's go move down the other end. So we move down the end. It doesn't help. Mm. So then we say, can we go inside? So we go inside, and what happens inside, Carol?
Well, we got inside, and somehow the story came up about the bird, and our second waiter had been attacked as well.
Yes, the guy...
Yeah, like a week earlier. It's like the bird, they'd rehearsed it a week earlier. The attack was planned.
Yeah. And this another waiter, the second waiter, was that Justin? Was it Justin that was attacked? Or
I never got their names. I didn't know that they... But
it was the guy with the really buzz cut cropped hair was the one that got attacked.
Well, he came up talking to us.
Right.
And we told him about the bird. We were making up shit about it or exaggerating. And he said, well, it happened to me last week.
Yeah.
And then we started laughing. I started laughing at him. I said, shit, man, they were really rehearsing to get me. And I started blabbing about how they're out to get me, and he doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about. He just knows. He's trying to have us be sympathetic to the fact that he suffered the same thing a week ago. But he was too distracted by me going on celebrating that I had been saved once again by two waiters. The first one was a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. To make it work, and they didn't rehearse the guy right, and so the second one failed, which was the first one in our experience.
Okay, so that was the bird.
Was I too complex there at the end?
A little bit.
Yeah, I didn't get the huge impact. Let's just run that by a game. Let's lead up to the
It diluted the whole thing.
See, I know, but I just create the humor by pretending we're going to do it again. That caused the big laugh.
Okay, please don't.
Yeah.
The threat of repeating that story got everyone laughing.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think of that bird? The actual fucking nature is freaked out because I'm going to upset nature. I'm going to upset the sky. The birds won't know what sky they're fucking flying around in because we're going to create a second sky. The earth is going to be rearranged. Nature doesn't like it. A lot of it's dying off. And we've had it. We've done. We're done. We're out of here. And, you know, and I'm doing it. So I have to be very careful around nature and animals.
You know, that type of bird that tried to attack you, they keep jumping out in front of our car, like, ever since we got here.
Wow.
It's like they're trying to make me swerve. Yeah, they'll walk along the side of the road and they'll just hop out in front of the car. And normally birds know. Several, like 50 feet in advance to start getting out of the way. But these ones will play chicken with you.
Right.
They just stay in the middle of the road, and it's like, okay, I'm either going to kill the bird or I have to swerve.
they were the same kind of bird
that attacked you, Bob.
That's right. You guys are seen as bodyguards or part of Bob's team, and they're out to get anybody in our group here. You guys are vulnerable.
Alfred Hitchcock. They
recognize your alliance with us.
Alfred Hitchcock.
The Bob people. Look, Bob people. I am nuts. They attack. What'd you say, Carol?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes. The bird.
The bird.
Yeah. You know who played the guy, the scientist, in the early 60s in the Birds movie?
Alfred Hitchcock.
No, Kirk Douglas. I'm pretty sure it was Kirk Douglas. Anybody know that?
No. Does it matter?
Well, I think we have to. We can. People could say Bob's stupid. We better check. You know, Bob's lying again. Let's look that up. The birds.
But we had this amazing meal. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about that. We had all kinds of funny stuff happen, Chad. What did we talk about? There was other neat highlights.
So besides you attacking the waiters.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the one waiter who kept...
Yeah, stop interrupting me. I'm conducting a seminar here. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, and then he goes, don't come back for at least a half an hour.
I said, my fork is shiny. Yes, I like my fork. It's nice and shiny.
So, yeah, they'll be off in the corner, you know, hovering about, you know, commiserating with each other. Oh, I've got the worst.
That fucking guy was a psychopath.
I've got the worst customer in the world.
Yeah, that guy never came back. That guy in the yellow shirt never came back. And then the other guy, our main food waiter, he started coming to the other side of the table where Kate was, and he would just whisper in her ear and go, is everything okay? Like, so that Bob wouldn't notice he had approached the table. And then there was Bob. There was the part where you lost your towel. Remember your towel got taken away?
Oh, we got to do the towel. Hold it, Chad. Did I say Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
No, it was Burt Lancaster.
You were lying.
Oh, they're close.
Burt Lancaster and Carl Malden and Thelma Ritter.
Ah, wow.
I think that's the Birds. They call it the Birdman of Alcatraz. So, no, that's not the Birds.
That's not the Birds.
The Birds.
That's a totally different movie.
Yeah, but I am writing the date, 1962.
Oh, great.
So we go over to Hitchcock. Who played the bird guy in The Birds?
Okay.
Hitchcock. He didn't play it, but his movie. The Birds, Hitchcock. Film.
Rod Taylor. Not even anyone we think about.
Now, you know who Rod Taylor is?
No.
He goes on to do The Twilight Zone or something. What?
Rod Sterling.
Oh, wrong.
Bob, you're way off on the movies. Get back to the dinner.
But, you know, if it was Rod Taylor, that's the guy that was at the orgy in the early 50s that Dave and Vern were at.
Oh.
And they had to leave Hollywood because a lot of shit came out of that. So I thought for a minute it was Rod Taylor. But is it Rod? I don't know. What did he do? What did Sterling do?
Let's look him up.
The Twilight Zone?
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it was the Twilight Zone, and I don't see any of that kind of stuff for Rod Taylor. He's not doing any of that.
Hey, January 1932. He just died 2015, for Pete's sake. Australian actor of film and television.
That's the wrong guy.
50 films.
That's the guy in The Birds. That's not Sterling.
That's what we were looking for, Bob.
Right, but we're now distracted with what did Sterling do? Was it Twilight Zone? Yes, the Twilight Zone. He did that. Okay. All right, now, the towel story.
What about it?
Okay, how do we tell this?
Bob hates being interrupted by waiters, as everyone knows. And
at one point, Bob's serviette napkin disappeared. And all of a sudden, he's shouting, "What happened? Did they take my napkin? Oh, I hate those waiters. Oh, my God."
They took the fucking napkin first.
That passed. And I just... it was a couple minutes later, I thought, well, there's no waiter's going to approach us. There's no way we can get the napkin from a waiter because we've shunned them. So I just got up and went behind us to a service table and took a napkin. And I walked over and put it beside Bob. And, you know, I didn't nudge him or anything. I just put it there. I figured, okay, he'll see the napkin. And 5 minutes later, what did you do? Did you just see it there?
I saw it there. I said, how'd this get here?
Yeah.
Well, what's this?
Yeah. So we had this huge discussion.
And Carol wouldn't say anything. You were, I could tell you had something to do with it because you were kind of smirking or whatever you call it.
We'd been talking about the Lemurian kings and how they didn't, manifest for them, and they didn't notice that a bunch of slaves were building the pyramid or making the pyramid.
That's right, I noticed that I was Lemurian. That's right, someone found the napkin.
Yeah, see, I created this.
Yeah, I didn't know what to call it, so I said, look, someone found my towel. Something like that. So then we improvised. I started yelling out the waiters, hey, where's my towel? And then we asked them to, where's my blanket? And then we said, where's my tent?
And then we all realized why they have music and a lot of clatter and noise in restaurants to cover up the people like Bob screaming and shouting and laughing.
Now, Chad, did you notice a couple would be behind Carolyn? Behind her. Did you notice they were listening more and more, and then finally they were sitting around aiming their bodies at me? Like they weren't like looking at each other at the table. They moved away from the table and were just watching me like they were theater audiences. Did you notice that?
No, I only saw them facing each other. I didn't know they were facing you.
Yeah, they eventually were facing me. The guy turned around, he was facing me, and his partner was beside him facing me. Here's the point. You consider all the stuff I said there, the seminar, and it's probably very loud. Every fucking thing I fucking said, including me yelling, where's my tent? They had no choice but to sit and watch this fucking maniac perform in front of them. They couldn't talk among themselves, and I'm oblivious to it until way later. I know some were looking at me, but I'm not letting it stop me. But can you imagine what they heard? And you, if you did hear what we were saying, you would stop and just stare. What the fuck are these people? What are they? Are they from another universe or something?
It would the conversation would definitely would have sliced and diced their sense of reality to the point where they would have just said, okay, I can't even, I can't hear you, and I can't even think. So let's just look at this man and engage in his entertainment, because that's the best we're going to do here tonight.
And the conversation goes like, teasing Kate about, why aren't you eternal yet? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you studied this? And name some obscure document or the holy offices. You have, the very thing we're doing now with a lot of insider words, you know, insider jargon, was what we were doing among ourselves for a couple hours there. Totally audible. And what would someone think of the crazy things that are said?
Yeah, Bob, when Carolyn took your strawberries off your dessert, you're like, what the fuck, Carolyn? Like, get your own fucking dessert. And then the girl next to you, the girl that was sitting next to you, her boyfriend, her husband, like, walked up and left the table. So she, like, slowly, like, looked over, and you're like, look, these people sitting by themselves are probably think I'm some kind of nut.
She was all by herself, but you didn't notice she was with someone first. Then she's all by herself because he got mad and left. And then you say, look at these people who dine alone. How lonely. They're going to sit here and listen to me?
That's right. I started mocking her.
wasn't that the two guys that went off to do coke?
No, that was later. That was the next party that came in. We were there like two dinners long. Because we had the giant like palette of different desserts. Carolyn ordered every dessert that they had on the menu.
We tried every dessert first before we ordered the dessert.
And then whatever one Bob liked, the ones Bob liked in the first round, he went deeper into those ones.
Yeah, I said, I want more of that. Just that. Don't bring any other shit, and don't bother me once you bring it. I am enjoying it. You don't need to ask me if I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it. I tell you I will enjoy it.
But then I am up the ante, because the last two desserts that Bob had, there were two cut-up strawberries on each of three pieces of
chocolate
cake. Cheesecake,
right.
So Bob was distracted for...
I was explaining the universe.
Yeah.
He's acting like he knew what it was when he was eating it, but we told him 40 times after he ate it what it was.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was... I said, this tastes odd. This is not chocolate. Well, it's cheesecake, Bob. But Jesus, you're fucking right. It is cheesecake. Oh, well, I guess that's why it tastes odd.
So I just... We weren't going to touch his... the main dessert. I mean, the waiter even brought us extra spoons, and he said, or he asked if we wanted plates, and we said, no, Bob won't share. So then I couldn't stand it, so I started to steal the strawberries off the top. And Bob would never notice.
I never noticed it.
He would never notice it, ever. But what made you notice it?
Well, when I went to finally, I shut up and started, oh, it's time to reward myself and fucking eat.
Dessert, right.
I started to eat, and I'm looking, and two of the three have no strawberries on them.
Oh, right, damn, I should take them off.
There's a pattern there,
pattern recognition.
I never would have noticed that they were strawberries until they were gone. I mean, I didn't know shit.
Because they're Carolyn, you left one with strawberries on it. If you didn't do that, he would have never noticed.
I wouldn't have known that something had disappeared. So I say, okay, there's one with strawberries, or the other two, they should have, where is that five? So
and he screamed.
Yeah. So I looked
at him. Yeah, he goes, do I have to punch you in the fucking face?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, you said, I don't know if he said fucking, but you said, do I have to punch you in the face?
Watching domestic abuse go down in this fancy restaurant.
And Carol's there. She's not taking it. She's being ferocious back at me. So we have this fucking, you know, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman's fucking smackdown right in front of the whole restaurant as we're yelling at each other. And Carol's saying, fuck you, that's fuck you. And it was fucking very loud.
No, I was laughing because I couldn't believe you said that.
Yeah. We reviewed Bob's opening statement. Oh, what a blow that was. Incredible. He upped the ante. He said, I'm going to fucking punch you. He's going to punch her. Oh, I can't believe he said that.
Those people were all dressed up. They were all dressed up so fancy, and everything was all, you know, genteel and everything. And there's a fucking hoedown at our table.
It was those guys, the Twin Billies. I was early.
It was the Twin Billies. Yeah, exactly. Well, I remember when we came in, restaurant, when we were outside and we tried to move across the balcony and that wasn't going to work, and the guy agreed at first. He goes, okay, if you want to go across the balcony over there, that's fine, just let me go and grab whatever I had to grab. And then he left us alone unsupervised for like 5 seconds, and then we wandered inside the restaurant and just started roaming around looking at tables. That one looks good. No, that one looks good. And then he came over horrified. He's like, no, you can't. No, this is crazy. You can't do this. We have over 100 reservations tonight. Just let me get some control and order here. Hold on.
Yeah, Bob's like, Bob, what's in here?
It turned out we just said that one. He said no. And that one, yes. It didn't take long to get something. It wasn't that booked up. It was, you know, he gave us a table very quickly.
Yeah, but he had, like Chad saying, he lost control. He wanted to serve us, all this serving.
Because we were walking around the restaurant with these big pillows. Like, Carolyn and Bob had the big pillows from their chair because they wanted to sit up higher.
Children's pillows.
And Chad and Kate are so tall. We
couldn't see over the table unless they gave us an extra pillow for us. The midgets.
It's funnier now than it was at the time, actually.
Well, I was enjoying it. Carol has to play mediator. She has to look around and see what are the consequences of this. She has to be looking out for people who will start, you know, sniping at me or something.
Yeah,
so Carol,
I
always
check
has
off.
A little bit, you know, not totally laughing like you are now.
Yeah.
You hold your reserve.
Yeah.
She's like the bird.
Do I have to punch you in your face?
What? Yeah. After 40 years of putting up with this fucking shit, I'd had it on May 21st, 2016. I'd had it. That's it. Do I have to punch you in your fucking face
you
stop
fucking,
eating my food?
You didn't say fucking.
I meant it.
And if anyone punches anyone in this relationship, it's me punching you.
Yeah, and I never noticed it. There's some dwarf midget punch. I wouldn't heard of a fucking mosquito.
Bob, you won't feel it anyways because your muscles are too relaxed.
That's right. I got massaged, and the masseuse fell into my muscles and couldn't get out. They were so loose. Is everybody still here? Is it just us laughing about ourselves?
About our dinner?
Yeah. Where's Bert? How you doing, Bert? Are you laughing, Bert?
I'm fine. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. Yes, I'm enjoying it.
Anyway, that was tremendous. And what happened at the end? Did you just end it quietly?
No, we walked outside.
Nobody said goodbye to us.
No.
None of the waiters, they all come around and say, they didn't say goodbye to us. They just, they had lost. We had shifted into another world. I don't even know we were visible anymore.
Well, the waiters from last week's restaurant probably called these guys and warned them, said, you see them heading over your direction.
They've been following us all week. They've been following you guys. They got the birds to bug you. The birds track you. So
bird drones.
Yeah, so they knew we were coming over. Yeah, now you know, we'll ask Ion what happened there, and he'll have some fantastic, there was 4 angels and 300 Lemurians, and he'll tell us a whole other fucking version of this story.
Yeah.
Did the bird
and I figured out how to deal with Bob dinners from now on.
What is it? What did you figure out?
I will take the waiter aside and say, do not approach the gentleman.
Hey, he's actually...
do not approach the gentleman.
He's actually a very
good...
He's the prettiest autistic kid around. Mm. He's mongoloid, too, but he doesn't look at it. He looks very handsome. But
he's conducting a seminar. The people with him are paying $5,000 a head to talk to him, and we can't interrupt him.
Yes, when we first got in the ear of these guys, for me to establish our importance, I said, well, fucking Jack Nicholson doesn't show up in the next 5 minutes. We're going to fuck it. He's never been invited here again. So I started dropping names pretty quickly. Did you catch that, Carol?
No.
Did you, Chad? Anybody hear me doing that?
I heard you say Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I did.
I started dropping names, Bert, as soon as possible to satisfy my principality. Where the fuck is Jack? Fuck it, fuck's sake, I'm sick and tired of Jack never showing up on time. I did that in the beginning.
So you, hey, Dad.
Yeah, you. So I'm an important guy. You tell the waiters, this guy's an important guy.
Yeah.
And when the celebrities come and sit at the table, don't you say one fucking thing to them. No autograph requests. This is a private party. And do not pretend, do not indicate you know who these famous people are.
Well, it's like some of the celebrities, when they're doing a movie, they tell all the production crew, do not make eye contact with him while he's on the set. You'll break his rhythm, and you will throw him off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do not make eye contact.
Whatever Homer said, or go back to the most ancient scripture, the first instructions, maybe the Emerald Tablets. I think that was the first religious stuff. So the deep message of the Emerald Tablets is, Opinel is going to be in charge for the next 10,000 years. Do not make eye contact with Opinel. He's on a big fucking mission. Yes, for a 10,000-year production. At Stuart Brand, they have the Long Now Foundation. Ever heard of them, Carol? The Long Now.
Didn't we see that over in Sausalito?
Yeah. And Bob was head of the Long Now.
Not Sausalito.
Yeah, Sausalito. Stuart Brand lived near where Gert Stern was staying.
Right.
And I was trying to connect with Stuart Brand. He wasn't there, but then we went to a place for the Beatnik Conference, and we went into a restaurant, and then upstairs was the Long Now Foundation.
That's right.
What I was looking for, and then I met this guy, and he told me the whole history of it.
All right.
So I found Stuart Brand indirectly anyways.
Yeah, you trip over everything you need to.
Yeah. If I just think something, it's like Thompson saying, when you die and you go into the bardos, you think a thought, it manifests. That's the old Tibetan Book of the Dead scenario.
Yeah.
That's the way I live constantly.
Well, yeah.
I have to think of something. I've been dead for centuries.
Yeah, Thompson doesn't realize you're alive and dead at the same time, here and now.
And it's not even a now.
Yeah, here and then.
Yeah, what was that I was saying to you today in the bathroom? I said, you know, my sign is time and eternity. Like Carol says, you always put off showing up, and then you show up at the last minute. You just squeak under the line.
Or be a little late.
And so I said, I think what it is that I live in eternity. So then when I got to relate to a bunch of fucking little men, little humans, I got to screech to a halt and get in, as Thompson describes, go into a little time zone. I got to go down to a little iron core facet crystal hypersphere fucking thing that he tries to describe.
A hobbit zone.
A hobbit zone.
Hey, there's fireworks.
Yeah, big fireworks happening, celebrating our big discovery.
Oh, we can hear them. We can hear them.
Yeah.
Go outside. You might be. It's off of Wailea.
It's at the Grand Wailea. But the thing so Carolyn, she gets impatient with me not showing up in time or being a little late. But she's amazed that I usually get in there at the last minute. So I figured out, I'm in eternity, and then... Cosmic Awareness assigned me the Time and Eternity Amulet, or Talisman, back in 69, and I finally figured it out by reading Thompson, sort of crystallized it. We figured out last night,
Yeah.
And then we read about it today.
Just before we went to the dinner, you said that.
Yeah. I figured myself out just before I was going to read about myself in the Thompson book. Just in time. I left eternity, entered into human personality and identity, figured out what I was, and then read a book about it.
And across the room, Bob's head, around Bob's head is the fireworks.
Yeah, there's exploding behind my aura.
Bob's head is exploding! Finally!
Bob, what?
Your head is exploding.
Yes. With this huge
finally,
realization.
She said.
It's been dodging time. I'm going back and forth between eternity and time to avoid the head explosion.
I have to punch you in your face?
You have to ram this fucking fist through your skull all the way up to my elbow?
Get your attention.
Bob's been watching too many mafia shows.
Yes.
That's all
yeah,
I watch.
Sometimes when I get up in the morning, he's watched like five of them. He comes on to me like a criminal.
Yeah, I start acting like everybody around me is fucking out to kill me.
And then he's like, what have you been watching tonight?
Yeah. You know, if it's a gay show, I turn gay. You know, that one with Jane Fonda and the Lily Diamond, Lily Tomlin.
Uh-huh.
They play, they got gay husbands. So you watch for a while, you turn gay, so I become gay. Or I become businesslike and something. But what it's funny is what we screamed. The person would have heard me saying, like, I'm yelling at you for stealing my food. What kind of couple has one person stealing from the other person?
And, like, we've got a $1,000 meal.
Yeah.
As if two pieces of strawberry are going to make a difference, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
No, if they heard, you're stuck.
You ended up getting a doggy bag, and then you chewed out the waiter for calling it a doggy bag.
Yes, I complained. It's not a fucking doggy bag. Well, we got to come up with a new fucking term. It's like those people with their dogs picking up a little bag of shit when they go for the dog walk. And I think the guy agreed, yeah, it should be a better word than that.
Well, he said a go bag or something.
He actually had another term, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
to go
yes,
bag.
The old English.
Yeah.
They go, I want a go bag. That's dog.
Oh, to go bag.
It's the OG of dog backwards.
Bob, don't try to keep looking at my face. I'm trying to look beyond
her.
Head.
I keep being
move
in her way.
Out of the way.
It would never occur to me that I'd be in her way. I could never inconvenience anybody.
They're still going on, usually. They're only a couple of minutes. So who's down at the...
I don't know. I didn't see the sign.
Huh.
Anyway, I'm sure the people around us thought that we were a dysfunctional family. So that was good.
Well, what would be confusing to them is, okay, a fight breaks out, but everybody's having a good time laughing. There's no enmity going on in the dysfunctional group. Everybody's just laughing at everything, right?
Yeah.
They can't find out where the grievance is.
Right, right.
Where's the grievance in this group here? He was yelling at her, but now they're all laughing and celebrating Bob's wonderful improvisation of a new insult. They love this fucking new insult. They can't wait. They're going to talk about it on a radio show they have tomorrow. They would have heard it say, oh, we got to do this on payday tomorrow.
And then you walk out, and the temperature's just awesome. We're in, you know, short sleeves. No insects around to bite you.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
That's what you, yeah, Chad, describe what you told us about the frictionless environment here.
Yeah, well, if you live in a city, a metropolitan area, there's so much ambient contrast. There's people making noise, unpleasant noises. A lot of people are just racing to work or racing back from work or racing to their second job. There's a lot of grind that goes on, and just none of that here. Like people, there's sometimes when it's a little bit busy at the grocery store, usually around 5 o'clock, but no one's in a hurry. Nobody's bumping into you. I don't hear people making unpleasant noises. A lot of people are happy just because they're on vacation.
Hmm.
So you just don't have that ambient contrast.
You never have cars honking, right? Have you ever heard a car honking here?
No, not once.
police sirens, ambulance sirens?
We heard one siren one night. That was it.
Yeah.
But normally I hear sirens like twice an hour.
Yeah.
In Vancouver, yeah. And just like, even where we're staying, it's so quiet, you wouldn't even know there's anyone else living around here. So we have total silence where we're living. In Vancouver, it's so loud around our apartment, we have to go out to a cafe or a library to work. So just all these extra headaches. Oh, yeah, and then dressing up to go out. And if you're in a city, you got to dress a certain way. Here, no one keeps track of how often you're wearing the same shirt. You know? And you just slip on a pair of flip-flops and walk out the door.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of like anxiety and resistance that's not here.
And where Chad and Kate are, they just wake up, put on their shorts, go across the street, and jump in the ocean.
Yeah. Marvelous.
Mm-hmm. So Bob's eaten some of his popcorn. Do you want to get back in the game, Bob?
Well, Chad, did you explain how you can get a lot done?
Oh, yeah.
You have new energy.
Yeah, it really frees you up here because it's so relaxing, and your body, all your bodily needs are taken care of, and you're on the level of just bodily delight. Going back and forth, eating delicious things, then going to the beach, then coming back, going back in the chip body, doing some research.
Yeah, it seems like the days are a lot longer.
Yeah, but it's funny. The sun isn't up as long here. Like, the sun goes down earlier here, but we seem to get so much more done in a day. But we feel like we're not doing anything. It's weird. It's like you're just kind of floating from one delightful setting to another. I go immerse myself in the ocean. Everything about it is perfect, and I'm completely satisfied. Then when I can't take it anymore, I can't feel my existence anymore, basically, and I walk back across the street, wash myself off in the outdoor shower, and then fire up the computer when I get back in the house and go on there for a few hours and then maybe get hungry. So it's like chip body, food, and beach. And it's just that triangle. I keep doing it over and over
even
again.
The walk between those like different activities is awesome because there's so much to see and smell. And you know, it's awesome.
It's a very, very nourishing environment. Like you know, it's obvious why Bob and Carolyn live here rather than somewhere else. It's the perfect slack environment to be engaging on the level they are.
Yeah, tell me about the farmer's market. I haven't been to the upcountry one. What was that like this morning?
Oh, wow. It puts any farmer's market we've been to shame. Seriously. Yeah, all around. Like, I found these tomatoes. They weren't Ryan's. He didn't have any tomatoes. But these other tomatoes, I noticed them when we walked onto the market. Because I haven't seen tomatoes that were this perfect since my grandfather used to grow his own. Because now everything on the mainland is all, like, greenhouse tomatoes. And they're like styrofoam and water, and that's it.
Right.
So I saw these tomatoes, and I made a mental note that they looked amazing. And then we went around, got some stuff we needed, and then we came back around to leave. Bunch of them. It's just the quality and the variety of stuff here is so much better than what I've seen in Vancouver at the other farmers markets. Then you get to Ryan's booth, and it's electric. Like, there's a huge crowd. Like, none of the other ones had crowds around them. His has a crowd and a buzz. So he obviously has a reputation as being, like, the guy with the best produce. And the way he lays it out looks really cool. Like, he wraps all of the leaf vegetables in some kind of, like, I don't know what kind of twine it is, but it looks like organic.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's like,
right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what he uses, but it looks really cool. Like, he's thought about the presentation.
He's really good with customers. It's strips of either banana leaves or the thing that it's something to do with his banana trees.
Okay.
I know, it's awesome. It's organic twine. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's gone. Like, he just knows how to add that one little extra thing to his stuff to make it look better.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of other vendors were, you know, to just set out a table and whatever produce grows in their backyard, they put it out and thought, okay, since that that tree grows there and that tree grows there, I'm going to open up a booth and go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, they just have some, like a little miniature picnic table, and they just swap out a bunch of bananas on it. Whereas Ryan's stuff, it looks bountiful. It's all like overflowing out of the baskets that he's arranged, and everything's nice and misted, and he's really good with customers.
Did Carolyn tell you that he was produce manager at the health food store in Paella.
Mana. He was at Mana.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I must have forgot that. I didn't realize he was a retail manager.
He was the guy in charge of that store for 9 years. That's why he's an expert in everything.
The produce.
Oh, no wonder the people that are in Mana Foods now are rude when we go in there.
Yeah.
He's not there to crack the whip.
Right. And maybe some of those people that are gathering him used to go to him at Mana Foods.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, my family's in produce.
He works for me. Who are we talking to? What show
we
is this?
Own
this
the fucker.
What youth or Carol's show? What, how much do I have to censor myself? This is payday. We can say anything. Okay, Bert. This fucking guy, Carol gave him an $80,000 tractor. We're going to buy the property. He works. And all these people are coming to Dobbstown's Food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right next to Farmer Jack.
Yeah, what do you need? Food and a place to sleep. Okay, so let's get some food.
So we buy the food and we buy the hotels.
And I mean, I'm qualified to say this. I'm qualified to judge Ryan in what he does because I come from a big agriculture family. Mm-hmm. And I know what's up all the way through from big greenhouse operations to the retail side of it. And he's definitely top notch what he's doing. And the people, you can tell just by the buzz. When you go to the market, just follow the buzz and you know where Ryan's booth is.
Nice. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I got his goat milk.
Yeah, he's got cool goats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just get his goat kefir. So I don't drink milk. What do you use the goat milk for?
I put it in my coffee because it's sweeter than cow's milk. I find cow's milk has no taste whatsoever. And I put it in my eggs when I make scrambled eggs. Or I just drink it, a nice cold glass of milk. Like, getting it from him, fresh from the goats I saw yesterday, is just so much more rich than getting it off the shelf. So we're very happy. It's a wonderful day at the market. What?
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget to try either an omelet or scrambled eggs with coconut milk.
Oh, yeah.
Coconut milk, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get full-fat coconut milk, and it actually makes an omelet go fluffy. Whipping in the coconut milk. All that fat, you know.
Yeah. Hey. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, that was very exciting.
Oh, and the setting of the market, you know, upcountry, you're on this, like, ledge looking out down over the valley, and you can see both coasts. Well, not as good as we could see it from the lodge. But I mean, like, you can see the depth of the valley. You're still up pretty high at the farmer's market.
Wow. Yeah, it's like there is a mountain that you're driving up. All of upcountry is on an incline. So, yeah, it's bound to have
great views. Yeah, we've been up there twice. I'd never been there before, and we've been up there twice in 24 hours, and definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so cool that you could go right back up and go to the market and experience it from that end. You know, all
the
people.
It was pretty busy. There was only a few parking spots available. Yeah.
That's so cool. I know, it's great. And, you know, it's the type of thing that you want, you know, I want to help support because it's not really commercial. The big growers cannot compete with this the type of hands-on farming that Ryan does, but we've got to be really careful here in Maui because the sugarcane fields, the sugar company is closing down, so all those sugarcane fields, we're concerned that Monsanto will buy them and just start growing all GMO foods on Maui. So it's really important to support local organic farming.
Do you mean that they would like start growing the produce that's sold at the market? Or you mean they're going to put more sugar cane?
No, they won't put more sugar cane. They'll what we're afraid of is Monsanto will buy the land and keep doing their GMO food test, seed testing, which is what they already do on parts of the island.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll get eye on after them.
Yeah. Wow, we managed to talk about food this long and Bob hasn't muted us.
Well, he's eating food, that's why.
Okay.
He's eating his popcorn. Right, Bob? So it was perfect for him. I think that's what Bob does when Ion starts talking about food, is he would just go and eat something.
I'm eating my spherical popcorn in my spherical temple in a spherical island.
Oh.
With a spherical story, an endlessly self-looping amoeba strip story.
Thompson, just by saying the word spiritual?
I said spherical.
Oh, spherical.
I'm eating my spherical popcorn in a spherical home on a spherical island with a spherical Mobius strip story.
Oh.
Just Phil Thompson, yeah, what Thompson described.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we're well informed. All's been done. Let's see if Corbin has something to say. Yeah, you want to get off your chest, Corbin? Did you fall asleep, Corbin? You know, it is 1 minute after 1 in L.A., so he may be asleep. Okay, so we got to prepare the Zappa thing. So I'll play some Zappa music. Let's see. What is that? You can talk to them, Karen, while I prepare this.
Oh, I hate it when you do that. That's the mucus from 5 desserts last night.
Oh, yeah, don't let me eat any more bread.
Oh, gosh, that was so funny. So, Bob, I guess we had started with our appetizers, and in the middle of it, Bob says, "Where's my bread?" So the waiter ran and got it. So Bob ate all the bread. We didn't. Kate and Chad and I didn't have any bread. And then all the bread is gone, and then the waiter comes by, and Bob says, "Bring me some more bread." And I said, "Bob, look at me, Bob." So I got his attention. I said, "You asked me after last Friday to tell you not to order more bread because it spoiled your main dish. You were too full with the bread." "I did not say that. What are you talking about?" I said, "Bob, this is what you told me. I'm just repeating it for your reference." So we had this big argument, and handle the waiter, and finally, Bob, quote-unquote, wins. So the guy goes and gets the bread, puts the bread down, but Bob doesn't eat it until after he's finished his dinner. Or actually, I had 2 pieces because I had to use it on my lobster stew. But that was the bread incident, and that was pretty... pretty much a pitched battle too, because it was right in front of the poor waiter.
And then Bob had to say to the waiter, because the waiter was caught in the middle between you saying no bread and him saying yes, and then Bob just had to say, "Ignore her, give me the fucking bread."
Where'd they go? I went, "Maw her,
ignore her."
Oh yeah.
But, yeah.
Don't listen to her. Listen to me.
Right, right. Here we are talking about it. He's probably out with his friends talking about this ridiculous couple that was at the dinner.
I love it when the waiter comes over. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, I love when the waiter came over and started, like, telling us all the specials and telling us about the menu, going on, and Bob's, like, looking at up at him, like, nodding with his big eyes, and then when he walks away, Bob's like, what the fuck did he just say?
Careless. What the fuck did he just say?
I said it to him.
I didn't hear a word
he said. No, I said it to him. He finished, and I had to say, well, I'll take anything. I didn't understand one thing you fucking said, so it doesn't matter. Just that's right. Dr. Dean will order for me. And then we discussed after. I said, these idiots, they have to have a role, so they have to spew all this stuff. They talk too fast. Nobody admits they can't understand it, especially if you're not going to that kind of restaurant all the time. Mm-hmm. You don't know what he's talking about. But he has to do it. Mm-hmm. Another stupid, useless, meaningless service industry job.
Mm-hmm. And then also they're coming, they're just hovering around with water constantly. There's an army of water bearers.
And what they do, they go in the back, they pour from the tap into this bottle, you know, nice-looking bottle, and then they pour this bottle. But you know they're getting it out of the tap.
Well, yeah, you asked him what it was.
Yeah, and he said he had a vague, non-committal answer.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's sort of, I don't know why. They didn't say what it was.
No.
Well, okay, that's a very good summary.
It was fun. Mm-hmm.
So,
very fun.
I'll put on music, and if you don't hang around for the Zappa thing, we'll say goodbye now to whoever leaves. And thanks for the details, Chad. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Are you interested in the Zappa thing? You'll see.
If I don't fade away, I was in the sun quite a bit.
Right.